But anyways, listen, I'm going to read the passage to you, Mark chapter 1, verse 29. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, again, you know, the service at the synagogue had finished, and many of those who were there who witnessed Jesus', you know, power, his authority as he taught the word, and then also his authority over this evil spirit. We looked at how they testified that Jesus' teaching was completely different than the scribes. And then again, of course, as this person who was sitting in the midst of their service, all of a sudden, Jesus heals them in front of everybody from this evil spirit. Talk about a service, right? And so as that service ended, everybody went their own way, but many of them began to spread the word at just what happened. But for Jesus and the disciples, it says that they entered into the home of Peter. Now, I don't know if you guys caught this, but it says here in this passage that Simon, who is Peter, was married. Okay? Some of you may think because he was considered the first pope, and not allowed to have a wife. Praise the Lord, that's not true. I'm all in favor of having a wife. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. But here she is at Peter's home, and it says that she was sick in bed with a high fever. And of course, in verse 31, Jesus came, and as he was notified, as he was informed about what was going on, listen, without any hesitation. And this is what I love about the Lord. Notice, he was ministering to those within a service. He ministers to many, and he still takes time to minister to individuals. And so he comes along her side, and if we were to look at the Gospel of Luke's account, it would say that he prayed over her, that he actually prayed. And he rebuked this high fever that was inside of Peter's mother-in-law. In other words, he commanded that that fever would leave, and it left immediately, because as he reached out to her, as he grabbed her by the hand and helped her up, she was immediately healed. No more fever, no more laying in bed. She got up and began to serve those who were in her home. And this is a pretty cool picture, because I think this is a real-life picture for us to understand. Because whenever Jesus touches our life, the natural response to us, when we discover how good God is and what he did to grab our attention, that the natural response would be that we would serve him. And if you have an opportunity, I just want you to do this. I want you to look back on your life. And I hope and pray that you would see that on that day that you gave your heart to the Lord, it's not going to be perfect. But the reality is that we should all be moving forward to becoming in the likeness of Christ, not backwards. So when you look beyond, you know, when you look backwards, praise the Lord, that's your past. You need to keep moving forward. Does that make sense? And that's what Jesus asked. Listen, for some of us, we're taking some pretty good steps. Some of us are just kind of like crawling. But as long as it's moving forward, that's what matters. And so Jesus not only prayed, healed her, she gets up and she begins to serve. And, you know, she's a mom. Like, come on. How many of you remember bringing your friends over and what do moms normally do? You guys hungry? Right? Didn't matter what time it is. Mom would always get up and feed us. And so this is an amazing picture. And of course, this has been a full day for Jesus and the disciples. Notice verse 32, that at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and all who were demon-possessed. And this word "they" is speaking of the people of Capernaum. Now, why did they wait till evening time? Well, if you can remember with me, it was still the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is recorded in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 and 11. It's when God commanded his people that they would work 6 days out of the week. And the seventh day was meant not just for rest, but it was considered a holy day. In other words, no work, rest your body, rest your cattle, rest your animals, rest your servants. And the rest of the day is meant to be focused on worshiping the Lord, showing your trust and devotion that he's going to be your great provider. And so what I want us to understand is that, you know, we see it in the law. This was God's command. But also in Exodus chapter 35, verse 2, it tells us what would happen to people if they broke that law. And it says in that verse that they would actually be killed. Can you imagine if that happened today? But I want you to know this, okay? Even to this day, this is still practice. Even to this day, there are many Jewish people who still observe the Sabbath day. When we went to Israel, I was like, if you ever go to Israel with us, I'm going to prep you now. Eat a heavy breakfast on Friday morning. Eat a heavy lunch on Friday afternoon, because by the time sun goes down, everything shuts down. You don't get to pick and choose what you get to eat. They'll put a little something out for you, but it is not what you think. They even have a Shabbat elevator. You want to know what that is? An elevator that stops at every floor automatically. Why? Because they still consider pressing a button work. Yeah. Can't use certain appliances. Can't do certain things. But after the Shabbat, this is when the town comes alive. Everybody comes out. They go to restaurants. They have fellowship with their family, friends. It's a party. Like, you go to Ben Yehuda Street. Angela, you'll probably correct me later, but that's okay. Love you. But listen, on this block, all the restaurants and shops open up, and it's live. And so that's what people do. But notice here, in our passage, evening has come, Shabbat is over, there's no more restrictions, and the first thing that people do is they come seeking after Jesus. The people in Capernaum are not worried about going and grabbing a bite to eat. They're there because they want to see Jesus. And along with that, it says that they brought all of the sick and all of those who were demon-possessed. Now, I don't know how they brought them. I don't know what they did, but they're there, right? The passage says both those who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And so they brought all of these people to Jesus because of what he did earlier. Knowing that he had the power to set a man free, let's bring everybody and see what he does. And so all of these people are now gathered around Peter's home. And I want you to notice what takes place after a long day. Verse 34 says, then he healed many who were sick and with various diseases and cast out many demons. You see, Jesus, once again, fulfilling that one verse that summarizes the whole gospel of Mark, that he came to serve and not be served, that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. He's living it. Putting aside his own personal needs, putting aside his own personal time. And as this crowd comes, he didn't say, it's past 5 o'clock, peeps. Go on home. He didn't do that. What I love about the scriptures, it says that whenever Jesus saw a crowd of people, that he had compassion on them. He would look at them as sheep without a shepherd. That's pretty amazing. You know, what Josh was mentioning about ministry and even, you know, the heart of things that go around here in this building. Listen, there's long hours. There's times when, you know, we're here back to back on certain days, certain events. It's long days. And to bring this to reality, what I'm thankful for is that people understand that. And when we come, we don't come, oh man, gotta serve these people. If you see any of that, let me know, okay? But we're here for what purpose? To serve you. We're here out of love for our Lord and to follow with what we see him doing in the scriptures. That's why ministry is not a 9-to-5. It's not a job, it's a calling. And so Jesus here heals many people willing to set aside his own personal needs for the sake of serving others, and he did it all throughout the night. Now notice with me in verse 35 to verse 40, when morning came, as the next day would come, despite the full day of ministry the day before, Jesus woke up extra early before the sun would even come out while it was still dark. Could have been anywhere from 3 to 5 o'clock in the morning. For all you construction workers out there, you know what I'm talking about. But Jesus leaves Peter's home and he goes and he looks for a solitary place, meaning a remote place, a place without any distractions. So what was his reason for doing this? And it says very clearly in our passage, to pray. Now, what I love about this is he had a desire to spend time alone with his father. Now, there's no mention of what he prayed, but I'm pretty sure, just like many of us, when we get down to praying, we pray and we thank the Lord for certain things. Whenever Maurice and I leave here, when we eat lunch or dinner, we are praying and thanking the Lord for what he did during the services. For those whose hearts were won over to the Lord, we're praying for them. We're praying for anyone else that we know of that is ill or whatever. We lift them up, but we really thank the Lord for what has taken place earlier today. And then, of course, sometimes when we're at home and we're praying on our own time, we're praying for our church family. We're praying for our immediate family. We're praying for those, again, who are sick within this body, those who need a touch from Jesus. We pray about many different things, and I have no problem with saying, I'm pretty sure that Jesus prayed for those who he healed. I'm pretty sure he prayed for the disciples that were with him. Lord, you know what kind of group I got. You know these people. I'm pretty sure he prayed even for himself. Come on now, how many of us have prayed for ourselves? There's nothing wrong with it. Some of us need to be praying, Lord, help me now, because if I flesh out, I might hurt somebody, right? It's okay to pray for yourself. But Jesus spent this time alone without any distractions. And sure enough, as Simon and the other disciples woke up, I want you to notice what they discovered. Jesus is missing. And now there's another huge crowd of people outside of his home. Can you imagine the panic mode he went into? Oh no, what do we do? Where's Jesus? And sure enough, they go out searching for him, looking for him. And the moment that they found him, I want you to notice what Peter says in verse 37. Everyone is looking for you. Okay? More people have come. So in other words, what Peter was basically suggesting, hey, Jesus, it's round two. Like, we get to pick up where we left off yesterday. Isn't this cool? Like, I want you to think about this, Jesus. Listen, all of the people are coming to us again. We don't have to walk anywhere. That's good news, right? They didn't have no Uber. They didn't have, you know, public transportation. Can you imagine? Hey, this is good news because, you know, you could use my house as a main place. And if you get hungry, my mother-in-law can cook some amazing hummus, right? Whenever you're hungry, just let us know and she'll bring it out. And then we can actually shut off the time, tell everybody to go away, and then we can take a nap, siesta. Take a little siesta. And then we'll let them know when shop will be open again. Man, this is great news. This is a great plan. Are you with me, Jesus? And I can just, again, imagine, even for Peter and the disciples, yes, this is an amazing plan. And to us, listen, when you think of it, does it really sound bad? It's not a bad plan, but here's the problem. It's not God's plan. That's the problem. And sure enough, how does Jesus respond to what Peter was excited about and what he told them? Everybody's looking for you. Jesus, in verse 38, says, hey, we're going to go to the other towns. We're leaving. We're not staying. And notice, towns is plural, not just one town. And during this time, it's believed that there were over 200 towns. And if each town had a synagogue, he would want to go and visit all 200 of these synagogues. So what was he saying? Tie up your sandal strap, boys. We're going on a trip. And he tells them why. And this is what I love about the Word of God. The Word of God just doesn't say, don't do this. The Word of God gives us a reason why not to do it. And Jesus gave a clear purpose. We're going to do this because for this purpose I was sent. So what was Jesus wanting the disciples to learn? I have come, and my primary ministry is to preach the gospel. The healings are secondary. Because even if a person gets healed, doesn't automatically give them a ticket into heaven. I'm not here to fix the temporary things. I'm here to fix what matters most. And it is the gospel that sets people free from sin. It is the gospel, once again, that has all of life issues, all of the answers you need. It's in the Bible. It is the gospel that allows us the ability to enter into this amazing love relationship with God that leads into spending everlasting life with him. That's the gospel. This is why he came, to preach and to let people know this is available for you. So Jesus was basically making it known to his disciples, listen, my calling, my mission is not to stay in one location. I'm going to go out and preach about the kingdom of God. I'm going to go out and let everybody know how to have this right relationship with God and how they can enter into the kingdom of God. That's my calling. And so as Jesus made that, you know, known, I want you to think about this. The dangers of him staying in Capernaum would have been this, pulling him away from his mission. If he would have stayed in Capernaum, listen carefully, he may have won everybody's heart in Capernaum, but again, there's 200 plus other cities that still haven't heard the gospel, who have still not heard what it means to be in a right relationship with God. If he would have stayed in Capernaum, all of the other sick and all of those others who were demon-possessed would have never heard the gospel. And the reality is that Jesus definitely came for the sole purpose of seeking and saving the lost. You know, there's a psalm that I've always encouraged everybody to read in this fellowship, and it's Psalm 139. And in this psalm, beloved, listen, it talks about no matter where you go, whether it's to the furthest parts on the earth, whether the deepest places underneath the earth, you and I are never out of God's reach. That was a little amen. I'll take it. But that was a really perfect place for an amen. Do you understand the depth of what we read in that one psalm? Because no matter what is going on in your life, we have a God who knows every aspect of your life. He knows whatever words are going to come flying out of your mouth before you do. He knows the mistakes that you're going to make. He knows where you're going to lie down. He knows, again, the darkest places you've been, and yet his hand is still there for you. This is the beauty that we have in Jesus. And I'm willing to go to the furthest parts, to the deepest parts, to pull you out of whatever pit, whatever ugliness you're in. And thank God that getting into heaven is not based upon our past. It's based upon what you believe. Because we've made plenty of mistakes. But now Jesus is saying, regardless of your past mistakes, I'm giving you the truth. And here it is for you. What are you going to do with it? And I love this because today for us, if Jesus is our Lord and Savior and we consider us followers, disciples, then guess what, beloved? Our challenge, our takeaway from today's service is this. We need to focus on our personal prayer time, and we need to focus on fulfilling what God's calling is for our life. And again, looking at the portion of Scripture, Jesus praying, spending time alone with his Father, spending time without any distractions, and not allowing the busyness of ministry, work, or events of the day to keep him from praying. I think it was Martin Luther King Jr., who said something to the effect of, a Christian without prayer should never be, because prayer is just like breath to every other life. Prayer for us today, beloved, is so important. It is an essential if we want to grow in our relationship with the Lord, because it's through prayer that will draw our heart to knowing God's heart. It is through prayer that we will get to have discernment. Through prayer, we'll get strength. Through prayer, we'll receive guidance and direction from God himself. These are the benefits, and it's not just because of what I say. It's seen here in this passage. The discernment of not allowing anything to distract you from God's calling. Jesus said, no, we're not staying here at Capernaum. We're going to go into all the other towns, and I'm going to continue to preach. That's discernment, seeing beyond your circumstance and trusting in God. Though it may have sounded good, but if it's not God's calling, then don't get yourself involved in it. The second thing that Jesus received was strength, physically and spiritually. I don't know how you feel after coming out of prayer, but I'll tell you, there are times when you do get energized. And I love the fact that when you sincerely pray, what are we doing? It's surrendering. Like letting go of something that's so heavy that you have no control over, you have no way of fixing it, and you're saying, God, take it. And that joy of being relieved from Jesus taking it, that's where the joy comes. God's got it. That's what's important. I don't need to figure it out. God's got it. And when we surrender it, listen, don't try and take it back. Don't go fishing. Don't go and try and get it back and then think you're helping God to fix it. Give it to him. Surrender it to him. If it's been nailed on the cross, don't pull it down. God will give you strength, and whatever calling God has in your life, he's going to give you the ability and the strength to do it. The third thing, direction. Again, Jesus lived out his message. I have been called to go and preach, not in just one location. I'm going. This is where I'm leading. And if you have a desire to be my disciple, then you're going to follow. See, Jesus didn't just preach it. He lived it. He was that living example, once again, of Mark chapter 10, verse 45. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And so, beloved, my desire in challenging us with prayer, find a place. Listen, I know many of you watch War Room, right? Some of you have even emptied out your closet. Praise the Lord. You got your own little room. I don't know if you eat in there like Homegirl did in the movie, but that's your room. You could do whatever you want with it, right? But find a place where you're not going to be distracted And whatever you do, don't take your phone with you. Oh, Pastor, that's my alarm clock. Go buy an old digital one like this. And I'm a little bit over time, but anyways. Lord's moving. There's no time clock on the Lord. I'm not the Lord. That sounded wrong, didn't it? Oh. Oh, gosh, help me. But go somewhere where it's not going to, you know, someone's going to distract you. Someone's going to interrupt you. Do what you need to be alone with the Lord. And when you're alone with him, I guarantee you, he's going to give you discernment. He's going to give you strength. And he's going to give you direction. God will do those things, I guarantee you. But you have to be willing to sit there and be with him. And whatever you do, don't let life get you so busy, because the busyness should then make us even draw more into prayer, not away from it. And I'm not preaching at you. This is for me. The other thing about fulfilling God's will, listen, I want us to understand Jesus again, leading by example. He didn't just preach it, he lived it. His message became his lifestyle. He came to give hope, to set the captives free. He did not allow the fame, the popularity, the comforts, the walking, keep him from fulfilling God's calling. He was willing to give up all of those for the sake of seeing the lost get saved. So no matter what the cost was for Jesus, my question to us is, what about us? Are we willing to serve the Lord in that manner? Are we willing to seek after the Lord to fully know what his will is for us? Listen, I know we're living in a world of technology, and many of us depend on Siri way too much. We depend on, well, what does Google say? I'm not knocking it. Those things can be good at times. But can you imagine if we spent more time with the Lord than we do on social media? Can you imagine what our life would look like if we stopped searching what's wrong with me and just give the Lord our heart? Can you imagine what we would be if we gave God our whole heart and not just on a Sunday? Because if we're really going to be followers of Christ, that means not just on Sunday or Wednesday. And I'm not trying to be legalistic, because listen, we're living in a time in our culture where people do need to work on Sunday, and that's okay. Come on Wednesday. Oh, Pastor, I got to work on Wednesday. Okay, well, we got life groups. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Which one? Oh, well, there are no excuses. Pick one and give that day to the Lord. Just pick one. Devote it to the Lord. And the reality is, again, knowing God's will, we all play a part in building for his kingdom. Remember the little puzzle I gave everybody? You guys remember that? And just like a regular puzzle, when you spend time and you're putting all those pieces together and you come down to the end and you're missing pieces, how many of you get frustrated and upset? It's incomplete. Same thing with the church. We all play a part, and we got to figure out what part we play in the puzzle of God's kingdom. But we all play a part. You got to put your piece in. And I hope and pray your piece isn't upside down. I hope and pray your piece is upward, and you're just trying to figure out where you belong. And I want us to understand and know our takeaway today, and in closing. We have two young adults here today who are willing to count the cost, who are willing to not only pray, but have a desire to fulfill God's calling in their life. Now, you might be sitting here going, well, Pastor, they said we really don't know what our calling is. but they're taking a step to find out. And again, their willingness to not just pray, but put feet to their prayers. Not just pray, but they're willing to leave the comforts of St. George and go suntanning over at San Hollow over the summer. They're willing to, you know, the comforts of being at home and waking up in their own bed. I guarantee you some of those pastors in Kenya aren't going to have any AC. They're not going to be, you know, next to some McDonald's or, you know, whatever their favorite restaurant is. There's no Cracker Barrel in Kenya. Okay? And there's no fried chicken out there. Well, there might be. I don't know. But I think you guys get the point, right? All of those comforts are going to be stripped. And they're going to walk. They're going to need to do public transportation. They're going to do the things that some of us are willing. Rachel said she might go to prison ministry. Come on now. And she even said to herself, I have fears, but the more that I pray, God's removed those fears. So again, we have two young people here who are saying, I'm in. And for us as a church, this blesses my heart. Because if God does speak to them and give them a clear direction for where their rest of their life will be, we've done our job. Because we're to raise up, help people acknowledge their gifts, and send them on their way to fulfill God's commission. That's what this church is about, beloved. And I'm excited for them. I'm excited for us because it's not just Rachel and D'Angelo. We have a wall full of workers out there that have been committed to doing the same thing. They've counted the cost, and they're willing to say, I will still go. This is a blessing, and I hope you're along for the ride, and I hope and pray that today, after we end this service, that you would be willing to go alongside of them, ask them questions more about the ministry that they're getting ready to do, and as you pray, let the Lord lead you. If you want to give to the bake sale or give them financially, let the Lord lead you, okay? We want you always to be led by the Lord. And as you do that, guess what? It's a partnership. We get to come along their side. We get to pray for them. We get to bless them. And we look forward to the testimony that God's going to bring because of them. Does that make sense? Right? You guys with me? Amen. Let's pray. Worship team, come forward. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning. And I thank you again that as we've centered this message around you, staying true to your calling, may we follow suit. May we continue to grow in our time of prayer. May we continue to grow in desiring to know what our own specific calling is in our life. And for those of us who do know, God, pour out your spirit and give people the boldness to start walking in their calling. And as we mentioned before, we all play a part. So God, lead us and show us where we're to serve you. And I'm so thankful, Lord, for Rachel and D'Angelo. And I pray, God, you would bless them, that you would provide for them, that you would anoint them and cover them in your love and your grace and your mercy, that you would empower them to go out and be that good witness for you. And so may they be an encouragement to other students that are a part of this trip. May they be encouragement to the pastors that they'll be staying. May they be an encouragement to those that they meet, to those relationships that they may continue to build upon. God, we want them to be just an empty vessel for you to fill that will bring hope, that will preach the gospel and give people an opportunity to know you personally. So, Lord, thank you again for this time. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I know that today was not a traditional message, but I just want to invite anybody here today. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. And I just want to encourage you with this. God, out of love, came into this world to save us from the penalty of sin. And some of us might wonder, what is that penalty? When we break God's commands, when we don't follow what we find in the scriptures, that's what is called sin. And the Bible also tells us that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of being in God's presence. But the Bible also, again, tells us that even while yet we were still sinners, Christ died for us. that out of love, even though we didn't deserve it, God would allow Jesus to die that death, pay the penalty that would remove us from being eternally separated from God. That's the penalty. And as Jesus died on the cross and he said those words, "It is finished," that is the door that opens up for us to have a right relationship with God. It is the right door for us to begin a new walk with the Lord, to be right with God, to be forgiven of all of our sins, and that we could start a new life with him. And of course, the greatest blessing of believing that by faith is that God gives us now the gift of everlasting life. And if this is you today, I want to ask, right where you're at, everyone's heads are bowed, eyes are closed, just slip up your hand, because it would be an honor to pray for you this morning, that you too would receive Jesus, that you would receive that gift of everlasting life. And so if this is you, just one more minute. We don't want to delay. But if you want to receive Christ today, just slip up your hand right where you're at. Praise the Lord. I see your hand here to my right. Anyone else? Lord, I want to thank you so much for the hand that was raised. And maybe if there was a few out there who wanted to raise their hand, if you were worried about what other people may think or see, I want you to know this. It's not the raising of your hand that saves you. It's your heart. So if you too want to pray and receive Christ, I want to invite you. You can still pray. So anyone here in the sanctuary or online, repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I've learned that he died for the sins of the world. And so, God, I come before you and I confess that I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? For I believe by faith in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith he died and rose again from the grave. I believe by faith that through Jesus' death, my sins are forgiven and I'm at peace with you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for saving me. God, from this day forward, I want to give you my heart. Please teach me your ways. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.